The smartest guys around are about to break it down like they've won the game a million times.
Well, actually, they didn't really win the game at all.
Survivor know-it-alls.
Yes, we are live here, the Survivor Know-It-Alls. Hello, everybody. I am totally Rob Cesternino.
Rob, you look great. It's really great to be podcasting with you. You look fantastic. You're glowing after your huge win yesterday. Congrats so much.
Thanks so much. Very well deserved, right?
Yeah, totally well deserved. Really amazing. And what a great testament to this community that you've created, Rob.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's been a lot of hard work, a lot of years of hard work and just podcasting all the time. But we made it. We finally won some awards. It was a great night.
Yeah, yeah. It was it was huge. And tonight you are, while you are podcasting here, you are also off giving the keynote at the expo. So that's huge. That's huge for you, Rob. Really, congratulations.
All right. I'm not Rob. It's me. It's Josh Wigler. How you doing, Steven?
I'm great. It's so great to be podcasting with you. I'm kind of bummed out that Rob is not here today because
I'm kind of bummed out that Rob is not. Yeah. Just to be clear.
No, because the set Joe going home, what a huge episode to prove that I really am the best know-it-all. Because really right now Rob's hopes are on Jen, who is ready to quit the game, and Will, who, you know, might as well.
Yeah, he may as well at this point. No, listen, Steven, I am decked out in all blue. I have some blue plaid on underneath to represent Rob, but I'm all blue because I am on Team Fishback for this one. I think that your path towards the knowingest know-it-all of this season seems pretty clear, especially after this episode. Joe going home, that's a big blow to Rob's bet that the no-collars are going to outlast the blue-collars.
Would you say that my coronation edit as knowingest know-it-all is equal to Mike's coronation edit as winningest survivor?
I would say it would take a pretty big blindside for you to lose this one.
Yeah,
it's not out of the realm of possibility, but it's gonna be tough.
Well, speaking about the opposite blindsides and their opposite, let's talk about this big vote tonight. Joe Golden Boy goes home. You know, really major force of the season. You know, so far the season really was sort of shaping up to be this no collar alliance led by Joe against the blue collar alliance led by Mike. And you know, that battle is over. Today, Joe went home. He was sort of the big beast, the big enemy. What do you think? What are your first reactions?
Well, I mean, I think that the moment that Joe falls off that platform, you know, it seems pretty clear where this is going. Right. You know, there's that bit of drama that Jen is promising that if she wins the immunity challenge, she is going to take that necklace and give it to Joe at Tribal Council. I thought that was just kind of misdirecting the editing, but I legitimately believe her. I think that if she had won that challenge, there's no question that she was giving that necklace to Joe.
Yeah, at that moment,
which is insane. It's crazy. No,
that would be insane. And at that moment in the episode, when they showed that conversation, I was like, oh my gosh, that's what happens. Otherwise, why are they showing this? You know, I was like, why are they, I was sure that Jen was going to win the challenge and give the immunity necklace to Joe. Now, by your rights, is that a quit by Jen if she did that?
Well, you know, this is something that Probst brings up at Tribal Council, right, and talks to her about, well, look, if you're just going to give the thing over to Joe, why don't you just tap out? Why don't you just say no? And she says that would be quitting. I don't know. I think that there's probably not too much of a difference at this point. She doesn't seem to want to be there.
Right. And she's asking people to vote her out. She is begging to be voted out. Like that's quitting too, right?
Yeah. No, it's not winner, winner, chicken dinner. It's quitter, chicken dinner on this one tonight. And I guess no dinner.
No chicken dinner. She didn't
have chicken dinner. Yeah, but no, I mean, I think it's hard to call it anything else. Yeah. It's just, I don't know. I mean, she very clearly does not want to be there. She's kind of being kept there against her will. She's voting for Dan. She's talking about how she's going to give that necklace over to Joe if she has the chance. I think that she's, you know, just shy of just saying, you know, throwing her hands up in the air and saying, I don't want to be here anymore. I'm out. I quit. It seems pretty much like an in-game quit to me.
Yeah, so I mean, would we agree that Chet quit Micronesia? I think this is the Chet principle. He has to be voted out. Is that a quit for Chet?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think that is that's something that we'll discuss in Volume 2 of Evolution of Strategy, first of all. But
a little plug.
Yeah, a little bit of a plug. But yeah. It's definitely it's along those lines. This idea of vote me out. I don't want to be here, but you know, could also at the same time still be strategically useful at the time that Chet wants to go. Chet could be useful to. Right. Stacy and Eric, and he still just wants to go. And I think if Jen has her druthers, she goes here. But Shireen's not letting her go. Shireen is digging in. But, you know, Shireen had this opportunity to do this thing that she talks about running the numbers.
Right. I know. It was a loophole in the numbers, yeah. She says. Yeah.
Yeah, she had this loophole that she could have used to keep Joe around. But I don't see any real reason why keeping Joe around would have made sense for her at this point.
Well, the one argument in favor of keeping Joe, right, is that Joe's a guaranteed target. And keeping Joe in the game, you know, at least in 3 more days, I mean, she's definitely not the one to go next week unless Joe wins. I mean, I actually kind of wanted to talk to you about this because I did think that maybe there was some debate here. Like, if you are Shireen, you know, Joe is this big antagonist. He is this focus of attention. You don't think there's no argument to be made, you know, keep Joe?
I think it comes down to, you know, there's the thought that keeping Joe around for one more vote, if you can force it so that Joe sticks around, Joe is so easily the guy that you are going to want everybody to go ahead and vote for. So there's now one very, very, very obvious threat ahead of you.
Right.
That certainly makes sense. The other thing is, though, she wants to get in on some of these numbers. Right. Listen, Shireen, I'm a big fan of Shireen. I don't think Shireen's going on an immunity run anytime soon. Right. She's going to have to start working with some of these people. She's going to have to get.
But she knows numbers. She knows she can figure out like math. If there's
she knows simple math. Simple math is a skill she has, despite what some might say.
Yeah. But
you know, she needs to start being able to work with some of these people. Start working with the Mikes and Sierras of the world. And I think that in order to do that, she can't pull a big surprise like this and keep Joe around. Right. So it really, I guess, it depends on, you know, which road she wants to go down. Does she want to go down a road where in the short term, she's going to guarantee herself probably the next spot, assuming Joe doesn't win immunity, Joe is going to be the guy who gets targeted? Or is she going to go with the bigger blue collar alliance, vote out Joe, and have another shot at ingratiating herself with that crew?
So do you think that like she, you know, do you think that offer from Mike is sincere when he says, you know, Mike is all about these big like acts of faith, you know, with like Will, you've got to vote for Haley. Yeah, he does have a lot of faith.
He's a man of faith.
Back. Yeah. But he, you know, he's like needs these like proofs of trust. And it's so interesting. He had a quote actually early on in the season. I think it was the first tribal council that he went to, which was, you know, you really don't know anyone until you see the way they vote at tribal. But he keeps on like putting these tests to people, you know, with Will voting Haley. And tonight he put this test to Shireen, you know, if you vote out Joe, I'll know you're with us. So do you think that's a meaningful statement for Mike, or is he just kind of making these alliances with everybody?
Well, I mean, it's hard to say with Mike. We know as the viewer, we know that there is a coup, you know, brewing within the blue collar. We know that Rodney is trying to pull some forces together. He wants Carolyn, Tyler, and Will at the 7 to flip on Mike. Do we have any sense that Mike is catching wind of this? And if he is he building his potential counter thing? And Shireen could have a part to play in that. It seems like he's very tight with Sierra, very tight with Dan. Is Shireen someone who could be legitimately useful to him going down the stretch?
I mean, I think, you know, Shireen is exactly the type of person that someone like Mike needs to pull in. You know, I think that's just like a time-honored Rob Cesternino strategy. You pull in the outsiders because they're only going to be loyal to you. You know, that's he's pulling, you know, this is like Shireen is like the Matt von Ertfeldt of this relationship. You know,
Rob were here to truly appreciate.
yeah. Or, you know, whomever, the Butch or like, you know, I it's interesting, like, you know, from Mike's perspective, just to bring in someone like Shireen, I think is only a win for Mike. And, you know, he did have a, he did have something today where he said, you know, there's only 10 people here. I can see a little faction brewing in this alliance. You know, he doesn't really, he's not really specific about it.
But he is talking about how it's, you know, 10 people is not a ton of people in the grand scheme of things.
Right.
It's very clear to see who's sitting with who. And I think that he is starting to look for that. And we know, I mean, we have it from the last episode where Mike says to us, you know, the moment that Joe goes home, I know that I'm in trouble. I know that I am, you know, the next obvious guy to take down. So Mike has already proven that he's thinking about this kind of thing.
Yeah. And what about it though, from Shireen's perspective? Like, you know, this is something I want to analyze in my blog that I'm writing. So I'd love you to sort of give me some insights that I can steal. Shireen is this outsider. For some reason, everyone seems to be angry at Shireen. You know, we saw Dan berating her last episode. It looks like Will berates her next episode. You know, everyone has had their moment of berating Shireen. For whatever reason, all these people hate her. What is the move for someone like that who is an outsider, who's an outcast? And like, are there, you know, you're doing an analysis of the evolution of strategy. Are there historical examples of people who have come back from that position?
From Shireen's position.
Yeah.
It's tough. I mean, you know, could you look at someone like Chris from Vanuatu, who is in such a clear out position, and that's somebody who's going to barrel their way forward? I mean, it's happened before. Right. But for someone like Shireen, it really, I do think, is going to be about making herself seem useful to a majority. And once she's useful to that majority, I think it's honestly probably something similar to the guy who's not here is to Rob. She's got to start thinking about where she could swing to next. I think that, you know, much like the monkeys she observed earlier in the season, I think that she's going to have to start thinking about how to swing around.
Oh my God. You know, oh my God. This is going to be like a key party.
Too graphic, I promise. But she's got to figure out how to swing around. I think that that's the thing, is she's talking about the numbers game and how she's running the numbers. And I think that for a person like Shireen, it's, you know, she's in a good position, or has been in a good position, where she's not the obvious person to take out right away. But now that Joe is gone, she does have to figure out how to be in which group of the numbers she wants to be in, and how to flip from a Mike to a Ronnie and back and forth as she goes along the way. So I think that's probably what she's looking at if she wants to keep going forward.
It really is a Sesternino move. Or is there a relationship to Sandra? I mean, is there like a Sandra element to her game maybe?
Well, yeah. I mean, she says to Mike, that's actually interesting. She says to Mike early in the episode, basically, you know, as long as it's not me, like I'm willing to, you know, you tell me the name at tribal council tonight, whoever you want me to write down, I'll do it. And she says to us that she's trying to get into the passenger seat and do some backseat driving, get in the passenger seat and backseat drive. You know, that's kind of the move that she wants to make. That's very Sandra. And I think that that's something that's a very good comparison as well.
Were you impressed by Jeff Probst for not bullying Jen a little bit more to just quit? I felt like he restrained himself.
He didn't pull a Janu on her, you mean?
Yeah. He didn't fully berate her into quitting.
I don't know. Jeff was definitely in jerky Jeff mode tonight, though. Yeah. You know, whether he didn't go into overdrive jerk mode with Jen there, I think he did a little bit, but he didn't go all the way in convincing her to leave. He was terrible to Joe at that challenge, don't you think?
Yeah, he was.
That was ruthless.
Yeah. I was glad that he said, like, why not just quit? I felt like the question needed to be raised, and I'm glad he raised it. You know, he always says he's like the voice of the audience. And, you know, sometimes I think we all think he goes a little too far. You know, he's not but in this instance, I'm glad that he at least, like, you know, asked that question.
No, and I think the thing about Jeff is, you know, he's observing what he's seeing. You know, Jen was very unhappy after losing that reward challenge. You know, she was very obviously pissed off. And then, you know, that there's that one moment. And then the next moment she is, you know, fighting to death in that immunity challenge. And Jeff is calling it as he sees it. You know,
right.
He's basically saying, what's going on here? Like, some days you seem like you're loving this. Some days you seem like you're hating it. I think he's calling out what he sees. I guess I am a little surprised, because the writing is very much on the wall that Joe is probably the guy to go home.
Right.
You know, put your tinfoil hat on, and you'd think that Jeff might want to protect someone like Joe. You think that maybe he would go in a little harder on Jen, but he was fairly easy on her, I thought.
Yeah. What is this the right move for everybody? I mean, I've talked a little bit about, Rob and I have talked a little bit about how, you know, Joe is sort of good protection for Mike, because Mike is
right,
like the next big target. What happens now for Mike?
I think for Mike, it's tough. You know, that's something that Rob has been really into, both in the know-it-alls and in his Thursday shows. Rob has really been advocating this idea that Mike and Joe should team up. I just don't know what world that could have happened on this early. You know, it's really, really early for that. It's final 10. That's something that might work a little bit further down the stretch. But a guy like Joe, you just can't get the masses to agree to take him down the stretch. And, you know, Mike is doing things that are good. Mike he's selling a lot to his people. He is juggling a massive alliance. This is a gigantic block of people. But how is he going to convince this block of people, anything resembling a majority of this block of people, that Joe is the person to keep bringing forward? I don't think that, even going back to Kagiyan, that this is something that Tony would entertain this early on. You know, he is going to want to keep Spencer around in Kagiyan for a little while longer than maybe people expected, but not at the 10. You know, at the 10, I think it's early to be thinking like that. So I think for Mike, I think maybe there's an argument, because sure, I think with Joe out of the mix, Mike has shown himself to be a beast in these challenges. This reward challenge is, with the grappling hook, he was on fire.
That was unbelievable.
It was impressive.
Perfectly, he was throwing that grappling hook. That was coach levels of prowess at random acts of prestidigitation. Like, I couldn't believe that he was like nailing it with that grappling hook.
Yeah, it was. He really wanted chocolate pretty badly.
Well, he did. That he could. I've never seen such.
He'd been dreaming about sneakers. That sneakers.
Yeah, I guess so.
But he's in the same way that Joe, I feel like, really outed himself as somebody who was just such an athlete, capable of doing all of these superhuman things. At the moment that he's exposed, he's got to go. Who's the closest thing to a Joe out there right now? Probably Mike. If he has enough people he can trust, he's going to be okay for another round. But he definitely does need to start worrying. I don't know. Do you see a world where he could have brought Joe one more round? A way that he could have done it?
I agree. I think it's dangerous. First of all, it's very dangerous because, someone like Joe really could go on Joe just has been on an immunity run. He's just won four consecutive challenges or whatever. So to bring, if you bring him too deep in the game, he very well easily could win out. And especially true as you start to eliminate other physical players. Because if you're not voting Joe out, you're probably voting someone like Tyler out. You're probably voting, even Carolyn is kind of a beast in these challenges. I think keeping Joe around is really, really, really dangerous. And to your point, like, how do you get your alliance to agree to that? They all think that Joe is the biggest threat. You really have to sell that pretty hard. So I think this is the right move for Mike. I think it's basically the right move for everybody in the game except for Joe.
Yeah.
Just because Joe is such a big threat. He's such an obvious, if he does win out, he's such an obvious guy to win the game. What about his jewelry making skills?
Yes, I really wanted to get into this. This was amazing. I'm really glad that it bared fruit. I mean, when you find out in the preseason that this guy Joe, who looks like Malcolm meets Ozzy, and they had a baby somehow, and he was sent back from time to this time period to play Survivor.
Yeah, exactly.
And he comes in under the guise of quote unquote jewelry maker. This is a guy who's been preparing to make a fake idol for a very long time.
Oh my gosh.
I'm so glad that it actually happened. It looked good.
It did look good, but there's no real reason for, like, why would Mike keep Joe to like get an idol out of it? It doesn't make sense. Why would Joe give up the idol? Why wouldn't he play the idol if it were actually a real idol?
Right. I think the Joe question is pretty good, but I think the Mike question, it turns out that he's not going to keep him around,
Right.
He plays the fake idol. He asks Jeff to verify it first if he can, and he still votes for Joe anyway. So he's good on Mike for getting the fake idol out of Joe's hands, I guess. But there was no world in which he was entertaining still keeping Joe. Joe hands over an idol, whether it's fake or not. Let's call it real. Joe has just handed me a real idol, and now I'm going to vote him out of the game and keep his idol.
What did you think of that move with Mike playing it for Will? I really liked that.
Playing it on Will, just like burning it right away and putting it on somebody who wasn't at risk.
Well, not only someone who's not at risk, but someone who is potentially a swing vote. Someone who is potentially
bringing Will a little bit closer.
Yeah, just like showing it's like a gesture of good faith to Will. And, you know, those at tribal council, when there's, you know, even if you're, you know, from Will's perspective, he's not irrelevant. You know, we're watching the show and we're like, Will is totally, you know, not a non-factor here.
Sure. But Will,
Will's mind, it matters. It's all coming from Will's perspective. So, you know, that I think that's a pretty smart move from Mike, playing it on Will, you know, the one who's truly a floater now, you know, who's got really no connections in the game.
Yeah, no, that's an interesting point. I hadn't considered that. I really just thought that he was burning it on somebody safe, but that's smart. And especially because Will is somebody with, Will has options. You know, he can go with Rodney. He can go with Mike. If he somehow wants to scrape Jen and Shireen together for something, I don't really know what that looks like, but he's potentially has options there too. He's for somebody who wasn't very flexible in that reward challenge, you know, he's got a lot of flexibility in the game.
Yeah, that was a pretty epic gif. I feel like that's going to be a...
Oh, him and Dan, I mean, oh.
Yeah, that was a great... Yeah, cataclysmic fight. Yeah, terrific. Titanic.
But no, that's interesting. And I think, you know, is there a better person for Mike to play that on than Will? I don't think so. I think that's a really good observation, that this is somebody that he really needs to keep his hands on. What I'm kind of curious about for your take is, you know, we get to the vote. Yeah. Mike has done this thing where he pulls out the fake idol and asks Jeff to verify. First off, do you like him asking Jeff to verify before they even go to the vote?
Before they vote is weird. You're right. Like, maybe after they vote, it should be. I guess, like, his thought is, if it is a real thing from Joe, maybe he feels more compelled to honor that.
I kind of wondered if there's any part of him that's thinking
like, it's protective. Oh, interesting.
Well, to hold up the idol, challenge, you know, Jeff in the room, say, Jeff, is this real? See if he can get any kind of reaction out of Brooks to help him further make the decision. See if he can get anything further out of Joe, out of anybody who might know something about this thing before he goes and makes a vote. If it's still up in the air for him that he might be voting for Jen rather
than. And not for nothing, like, you know, like flashing an idol, you know, is never a bad thing, just in case there is some heat on you that you don't even know about, you know, to say, is this a real idol? You know, maybe
to do it pre-vote. Is interesting.
Well, what I'm saying, like, maybe if someone was going to vote for him, they might be disinclined to vote for him.
Right. But I thought that was really interesting. But also interesting, I thought, is, you know, you get Tyler going up to the confessional and saying, yeah, I have no idea what's going on. And Rodney comes up 5 seconds later and says the exact same thing. Yeah. So, you know, it's hilarious and it's great TV. But is this
right?
Great for Mike, or does this make Mike look too clever in front of these guys? Mike, who already has a lot of reasons to look threatening on paper, is this just, has he gotten a little cute with this move?
No, you're right, because you do want your alliance to feel safe with you. You want them to trust you. Like, everyone is very nervous in tribal council. You know, that's Mike's point, right? All that matters is what happens in tribal council. So I agree, it's a little bit like too much of a flourish. You know, they're already splitting the votes. It's already basically a 4-4, you know, split with like a lot of potential things that could go wrong. And so it's sort of complicated. It's kind of, it's a little bit dangerous. It is a little bit dangerous. You know, easily enough dispelled, I think, afterwards when you go back to camp and you're like, oh, he gave me this idol. He said, you know, play it. You know, I just wanted to save you, Will.
Right. But does that make someone like Tyler, who is on the fence, and Carolyn, who is on the fence, is that going to make them more nervous about a guy like Mike rather than someone like Rod, who is planning and plotting and talking about getting rid of Mike, but seems maybe like somebody you could potentially outmaneuver better than you could outmaneuver Mike? Is that going to make you want to take Rodney's idea a little more seriously and maybe even expedite it?
Or maybe, you know, you're more scared of Mike. You know, it's like the Tony with the bag of tricks. Like, right, no one wants to make a move on Tony because you don't know what's going to happen next.
Yeah.
And I remember, like, there was something like that in Karamoan where, like, you know, the three amigos had all this heat behind them because they kept on winning challenges and finding idols. And everyone was like, well, you know, they almost had this moment where they actually tipped the tide because they seemed invincible for a second.
Right.
So I do think that, like, having this aura of power becomes, you know, it certainly is a target, but it also could be frightening.
Yeah, that's interesting.
What about Mike? Like, let's talk about the game that Mike is playing here.
Sure, Mike's your favorite.
I love Mike. You know, and you know, I really think he's playing a really, really great game. And you know, Survivor is a game of mistakes, like poker is. And I think Mike is not really making any mistakes. You know, I think he's playing almost every interaction as well as he could. You know, it's not a flamboyant game. It's not a Tony Vlachos game. You know, it's not up to the levels even of Kim Spradlin. I don't think where she completely controlled the entire game. Cause you know, you do see this insurrection against Mike, but he is kind of Spradlin-esque where everybody sort of thinks that they have a close relationship with him, you know, and I was reading Hallie's interview and she was like, oh yeah, well, Mike and I had a side thing going on.
Yeah, so I was surprised.
He voted me out. Shireen goes to Mike and they have a side thing going on. So, you know, it seems like everyone's got a personal relationship with Mike and thinks that they're his best friend. That's an amazing position to be in.
Yeah, it's pretty great. And I mean, it's something that he said during the Merge episode, like, all right, everybody go talk. It's right. A survivor. I know everyone's talking. And so with that out in the open, maybe that kind of enables him or empowers him to feel like he can just go ahead and talk to everybody. But the Haley thing is interesting that, yeah, he apparently had some side conversations going on with Haley based on interviews that she did. In my interview, she mentioned that as well. She definitely said like she thought that she had something going on with Mike, and that kind of makes the whole thing with Shireen, maybe that recolors that a little
right,
bit.
You know, totally,
how much is it legit versus just, you know, smoke that he's blowing?
Right. I mean, that's just it, you know, and he even said to her, so that was what interested me was he said, well, if you vote for Joe, you know, then we can go to the final four. Like, he's making very specific promises. Like, final four is a very specific promise. You know, it's not like I'm taking you all the way to the end, and it's not like I'm taking, you know, we're here for two or three more votes. That's a calculated, we will go to this thing and then our bond is done, promise, which I wonder, you know, if it's that specific, he might honor it.
Right. There's a lot to talk about with Mike, but I feel like we could talk a lot about Mike through Rodney. And I wish Rodney was here to talk about Mike as Mike. what did you think of Rodney's like roster of impressions?
It's unbelievable.
It is ridiculous.
Cesternino's not here. You know, what do you think? Is he better than Cesternino?
Well, all due respect to Rob. I think Rob has been struggling to find his groove with Mike Holloway. I think it's been a challenge, but Rodney has had several days with right. Mike.
Living
to
together.
This thing.
Yeah.
And he's good. That sounds exactly like Mike. You know, before I was always thinking of Mike's voice kind of Antonio Mazzaro describes it as Marty Funkhauser's voice. I'm kind of thinking about a Marty Funkhauser in Coach Taylor's body. Right. But really, I'm just thinking about Rodney now. The Rodney Mike impression is the one to beat, and I think all Mike impressions need to stop. Just let Rodney do his thing.
I was almost more impressed with Rodney's Dan.
Yeah, with Dan.
Because Mike, I feel like Mike, you can kind of parody that voice, but like the Dan impression is so dead on. He gets like the
enunciation.
And yeah, it's just like it's so perfect.
Yeah. In Maine, I am a fat guy. Yeah, he just has it down.
Yeah,
and he was really endearing himself to everybody on that losing side of that reward challenge. You know, we spend the first portion of that segment with Jen talking about how she hates it here. She doesn't like anybody. She hates that people are eating her chickens. Kind of pulling her Shambo there.
Yeah.
And really, her frown is turned upside down by Rodney of all people. You know, Rodney who has come off. At times, not great, you know, with some of the things that he's saying and some of the arguments he's gotten into with a lot of people. It seems like, you know, maybe these people actually really enjoy Rodney.
Yeah, it's funny because we just see the fights and we see like the blowups and the anger. Like that's the stuff that makes TV. But then you see a moment like this and everyone's just like cracking up at the guy and you're like, oh, maybe he's awesome.
You know, I think that's interesting that we're starting to see a scene like this where Rodney is really, you know, he's a man of the people here. People in this scene love what Rodney's doing. We also know that Rodney is trying to pull this thing together to avenge Joaquin. I love this long con to avenge Joaquin. I think it's fantastic. But you know,
hey, you know what? That's how Natalie won last season,
it's
right?
True, like, it's true.
But, avenging Jeremy.
But I mean, I don't know. Are we out? out on Rodney, or should we not be so quick to discount him? I don't know that I would say that Rodney's got no shot. I actually think Rodney's got a decent shot to win this thing.
I know this episode made me think, like, you know, we've seen a lot of negativity from Rodney. We've seen a lot of explosions, but, like, you know, I at least thought that Tony had no chance either for exactly. very similar reasons. We saw a lot of insanity from Tony, and I was like, well, there's no way they'd show all that insanity if he won, and he did, and he won, and they showed it because that's who he is. And the same thing with Rodney, you know, they're showing it because that's who he is. That said, I mean, I still think Mike wins, but
I know you.
yeah. And either way, the important thing is that either way, I'm the knowingest knowing.
Oh, sure. I mean, all it takes is a blue collar, right?
Yeah, exactly.
What happens if it's Tyler or Carolyn, then nobody wins?
I think if either of the other two get jury votes, then it's the person who's closer. You know, if there's like, if Carolyn wins, but, you know, Mike gets three votes, then I win. But if it's like, you know, a shutout by Carolyn, then I guess it's, there's no change in reverse to the status quo of Rob being the knowingest know-it-all.
It's the status quo. No one's betting on those white collars. Yeah. I think might be a mistake, you know, but
are they still in the game? Are Tyler and Carolyn still playing? Cause I don't remember seeing them tonight.
Well, yeah, they were pretty much absent. I mean, Tyler is going to go ahead and win that immunity. But other than that, can you think of a confessional from Tyler?
I don't think
certainly
either
not
of them had a confessional, which is crazy. They're great. I love Tyler. Like, that's my favorite alliance right now is the Tyler and Carolyn alliance. And it's not even...
It's a ticking time bomb too, because they've got an idol between the two of them and nobody knows about it. So it, you know, that's got to blow up at some point, you have to think. But it's interesting that they got no airtime. You know, I know that there's a lot of talk about airtime between you and Rob here on Know It Alls and just in the Survivor community in general, but I think that there's something to it. And the fact that they were really kind of quiet the entire night makes me think a little bit, but I really like that alliance as well. I love Mama C. I think she's
Mama C. Yeah,
she's really good, and I think that Tyler's really smart as well. But you know, it wasn't their episode tonight, so I don't think that they're out of it. I think, you know, like Will, they've got options, but I also think that they are going to be in the position where they got to make a move soon. Because that, again, that alliance that Mike has pulled together is gigantic. We're at nine now. There are only two people who are not in that alliance. You know, so something's got to happen.
Wait, who now? Because Jen, I mean, Shireen is now in that alliance. So it's basically
right. So it's just Jen.
Yeah.
It's just Jen. So it's almost like it's just one giant alliance because Jen has quit the game. So she doesn't even really count. Yeah. You know, so it's interesting. And I think that, you know, we are at an interesting spot here. You know, it was great to have Joe in. Joe was a source of drama in the sense that can he just keep winning these challenges? But the moment he loses, it's pretty clear that he's got to be the guy to go. But now that he's out, and now that we do just have America as just like one giant blob of people, rather than, you know, this very clearly delineated group of alliances, it's really tough to predict where it's going to go from here.
Well, you know that I love to talk about the edit, the one I do think Rodney's getting set up as sort of the next big threat. And, you know, even in the sort of in the way the episode began tonight, you know, the first thing is to said that Rodney was controlling the majority alliance, which you've been watching the show, not accurate. You know,
sure.
the story we've been seeing is Mike has been controlling the majority alliance. So in my mind, like, that's sort of setting up like, oh, Rodney's the next big obstacle in Mike's trajectory of victory. But, you know, we'll see. I could be wrong. I have been wrong in the past. John Mish comes to mind. So
sure, of course. But I mean, like, if you're looking for support for a Rodney win, he's got a badass line this episode. He says, "Flippers, I think that flippers win the game at the right time with the right blind side. I don't need these blue collar guys. I have friends at home. What I need is more zeros in my bank account."
So maybe he wins zero.
Yeah, that's right.
Should we get into some questions here?
Yeah, we can take some questions. What do you think first before we get in? I just want to get your quick hot take on this. Is the product placement for all of that chocolate?
Oh my God. Jeez, that was amazing. That was really, you know what? But like, in terms of Survivor product placement, like, much better than Gulliver's Travels. You know, I don't know if you remember that.
They had to carry
Gulliver in Nicaragua.
What's worse, the Gulliver's Travels or Jack and Jill?
I mean, Jack and Jill was great just because it gave us that iconic moment of Sophie hating on Jack and Jill. But didn't Gulliver's Travels give us Darren?
Rick cracking up. That was the one good Rick moment.
Yeah, Rick cracking up. Yeah. But didn't Gulliver's Travels give us Dan in the big chair? Like, wasn't that?
Yes, it did. Yeah. So I guess you have to weigh the two. I think Dan in the big chair is pretty tough to beat.
Yeah.
It's been a while. I can't think of the last time that Probst was like, just to whet your appetite, I'm going to give each of you an M&M. You know, that was very old school.
I thought that was old school. I loved that. That's classic. So. I loved it. He did it in Heroes versus Villains. And I remember I remember hearing afterwards from JT, like Colby, like refused to touch the chocolate. So all the other heroes like had to refuse to touch the chocolate too, because they couldn't like look like, you know, wusses in front of everybody. So
in front of Colby, especially the true macho man of that season. All right. Well, let's dive into some questions. Scott St. Pierre, man in the wheel. Steven, what do we got?
JJ Rules 07 wants to know, would you rather suffer an overload from tacos or chocolate?
That's tough. I mean, you don't want an overload of either.
I think you want an overload of tacos though more. There's some nutrients there.
But spicy.
Spicy, yeah. Chocolate has a lot of good antioxidants too.
That could be bad. Maybe the chocolate's going to get you jacked up for the next challenge.
Yeah, I don't know. The sugar highs, I don't think that does it. But like either way, when you gorge after, you know, you end up throwing up and feeling sick and hungrier than before. It's never that great.
Yeah, I don't know. The taco overload, it was just frightening. I think that I'm just traumatized from West still. We didn't get to see anybody who really had a terrible chocolate overload moment in this. I'm thinking back to like Guatemala. That was pretty bad. Everyone has a very bad chocolate overload there. But we didn't really see anything too bad here.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't so bad. All right, this is from Jal Dota. Jal Dota says, if that idol actually was deciding Joe's fate, why didn't Mike just play it for Joe? Mike knew it was a fake and he would have been keeping his promise to Joe. What do you think about that, Steven?
I mean, it's an interesting idea. I think if he had done that, I think his entire tribe would have been pretty furious at him. You know, Mike probably suspected that it was not a real idol since he has the actual idol. You know, I think maybe you never know when another idol is going to pop up. So he probably thought, well, who knows? Maybe this could be one. My guess is that he was pretty much suspected it wasn't a real idol, and also was happy to look for a reason to get rid of Joe. So,
I mean, if Mike plays, you know, fake idol or not, plays an idol for Joe,
right,
that's going to make everyone very upset.
Yeah, exactly. Like that's going to pretty much infuriate his entire alliance, who's been like really fixated on getting Joe out. So
yeah, I feel like it's one thing to take the idol away from Joe, and maybe if there's some way that they are seeing that I am not, you are not, to keep Joe around, maybe that's one thing. But to actively play an idol, whether or not it's real, on Joe, I think that's a bridge too far.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah.
Fox Van Allen wants to know, did Mike put an even larger target on his back by pulling the "this will determine if Joe goes home" bit at Tribal Council? Fox says yes.
So that's, you know, kind of like what you're saying. He's kind of anointing himself as the godfather, much in the way that Tony did with something right. like that. And, you know, there's two ways of looking at that. You know, my first inclination is to say, yeah, he's making himself look like the boogeyman. You don't want to play with the boogeyman. But on the other hand, do you want to be the guy who takes on the boogeyman? Like, do you want to be the guy who looks under the bed? I don't know. I don't necessarily think so. So it's interesting. I think it certainly puts a bigger target on Mike's back. As for whether or not anyone wants to pull the trigger, I think that's the question.
I mean, for me, like, you know, even more important than Mike, you know, being able to pull an idol out of his pocket is Mike's ability to pull in Shireen. You know, I think that that's really going to be a decisive factor for him. If he really can build an alliance with someone like her, you know, when you've got three of your numbers or four of your numbers who are ready to turn on you, you know, you need to sort of pick up those stray votes. And Mike has really shown, you know, since the beginning of the season, the ability to kind of, you know, with Sierra, to sort of bring in the people he needed to bring in.
Just overall, just like broad strokes, what were your thoughts on Shireen tonight, Steven? You know, with Shireen, in the previous episode, Dan saying, you know, you've got no shot, your game is over, you're dead in the water. She's obviously the super fan. She's talking about running the numbers. But right away, right after that tribal council where she loses an ally in Haley, the first thing that she's going to go and do is cozy up to Mike and just try to really just lay low and get in good with Mike. Is this good on Shireen? Were you into Shireen this episode?
I loved it. I thought Shireen was playing great. You know, I think she was doing a great job. And, you know, it was interesting because that was sort of her strategy with Max, right? It was to like find the guy who's, you know, seems to be taking some kind of leadership role and, you know, just like be that guy's friend. And didn't work out that well with Max, but it very well could work out well with Mike.
Yeah, we'll see. Do you think that it's game over for Shireen, like Dan says, or does she still got a shot?
I think Shireen totally is. You know, all that matters is who you wind up at the end with. You know, Shireen at the end with Dan and you know, Jen, like, who knows? Maybe they vote for Shireen.
Yeah. All right, this is from LaserDude99. Speaking of Shireen, LaserDude writes, why isn't Shireen filling in Jen that she might be able to work with Mike? It would make her less depressed and might make her spirits rise. What do you think? Is this going to be like a like an antidepressant for Jen finding out that they've got, we've got Mike here. We might be able to do something.
I think you don't tell, you know, Jen is clearly a force of chaos in this game. I think you don't tell her any secrets, you know, then who knows when that secret gets blurted out. I think that, you know, for Shireen, she's got a good thing with Jen. She's got a thing with Mike. You know, it's not like Mike needs Jen, and it's not like Jen wants Mike. So I think keeping them separate is not a bad idea. What do you think about that?
No, I agree with you. I think the problem, you know, maybe on paper that's great. You know, she needs to, or doesn't need, but it would be great if Shireen could have that one person, you know, someone who was as loyal to her as a Max was.
Right.
Still in the game, somebody that she can talk about strategy with. And she says, you know, at multiple points of this episode that Jen is that person. That is somebody that she can talk strategy with still. But she is volatile. You know, she's saying the things that she's saying at challenges. She's talking about how, you know, it sucks to be out here. She's talking at tribal council about how if she had won that necklace, she would have given it to Joe. And you don't know how much of that is for show. It doesn't seem like it's very much for show, considering she really was angling to get voted out of the game.
Yeah.
And to you know, if your backup plan, which was Mike, now kind of becomes your plan A, to really tip any of that off to a person who doesn't really want to be there anymore, I think it's probably too big of a risk to really fill Jen in on that plan.
Yeah, I completely agree with you.
Yeah.
Zachary Kennedy wants to know, do you think Joe's fake idol would have worked if Mike were not the one with the idol? What do you think about that?
Would Joe's fake idol have worked? You know, if he had gone to Rodney?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. Well, so is there another idol out there? Do we have a ruling on that? Is the idol that Mike found, is that the blue collar idol, and is that separate from another idol that is out there, or what? What's your take?
Man, I don't know. I really don't know.
I think there's a lot of confusion about that, both on our parts, on a lot of people's parts watching the show and in the game, it seems like.
There was no clue at the reward challenge, so it's conceivable that there's no other idol.
Yeah. You would have thought like a clue would have been wrapped up with a Twix bar. Like, yeah. It's like the second Twix.
Baked into the Snickers. Yeah. Yeah.
The second Twix. If he had gone... Interesting, because Mike has that idol. You know, he doesn't necessarily need another idol. Maybe it would have worked with somebody else. I don't know. It's an interesting thought. I'm not sure. Let's go to Jer Martin. I think this is a George R. R. Martin reference. Jer Martin writes, Shireen followed Mike's wishes. Does that mean they are going to go to the final four? And who are these four Mike is talking about? Clearly Mike, Sierra, Shireen, and who else? Well, I don't know that
Dan.
I wouldn't say clearly on Shireen, but I do think that
Mike, if she's part of that four, right?
Right. But I do think that Mike thinks that it's Sierra and Dan, and then who is the fourth? Is it going to be Shireen in his eyes?
I mean, that's what he said, right? If we're to take him seriously, you know, and that's a good four for Mike, you know, Sierra, who's sort of been, you know, his right-hand woman, you know, Dan, who everyone hates, and Shireen, who everyone hates too, apparently. So, I mean, you know, not for necessarily any reasons, you know, fault of her own.
Yeah, it seems like if that's the three that he brings to the top four and Mike is in that final seat, it seems like a pretty good setup for Mike.
So who's left though? Like, you know, they're at 10 now, right? So you got a Tyler and Carolyn, you know, you got Jen, you got Rodney, and you got Will, right? And who am I missing here?
You've got Tyler, you've got Rod, you've got Mike, Shireen, Sierra, Dan, Carolyn, Will, and Jen. You know, Will's another guy that's interesting. You know, with Mike putting that move on Will, you could see Will being in that four in Mike's plans and in sort of his end game plans. And is another person that it might be might behoove Mike to go to the end with, because at that point, Will have screwed over a lot of people to get to that seat. You know, he completely turned on No Power, and he's got this sub alliance,
and not really one to win out. You know, if I were Mike and I were sitting there with Shireen, Will, and Dan, I would feel pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. So I think that Dan is if we're calling it, you know, certainly Mike, certainly Sierra, certainly Shireen, I think it's 100% Dan is in that plan. You know, Mike and Dan have been together since day one. I think that Dan is very much a factor in Mike's end game plan. I'd be really surprised if Dan does not make it to that final tribal council.
I think Dan is into the final tribal too. I completely agree with you.
Yeah.
Kelly Whenever wants to know, Could Jen have voted for herself? Is it within the rules?
That's all right. Well, interesting. Well, as someone who very much has not played Survivor, I cannot answer, but I think that I know the answer. Steven, this is a no.
I guess it's probably a no.
You think, like, if they allowed that, it opens up some very strange doors that I feel like we would have seen by now on the show. Like,
well, would you? Because who wants to vote? No one wants to vote.
Well, if you're like, think about it. Like, if you're just going to be like that time Shane Powers when they're voting Bob Dog out in Panama in Exile Island, and Shane just wants to make his vote disappear. He's going to put a vote on Mars. Vote for himself. Why not just vote for himself?
Right. No good point.
Completely minimizes the risk of somebody like Aris getting angry that he got a stray vote from Shane. Like, Shane's not going to get mad at himself, although maybe Shane will. Who knows? but, you know, I feel like we would have seen stuff like that. I think that it's a pretty big no that you can't vote for yourself.
That's a great point. You know, they want to spur drama. They want to spur conflict. The vote is a great way to do that.
Just take the classic final three scenario. When you're going into a final two, the rules are that the immune person has to vote because you can't vote for yourself. Yeah. The two people's votes cancel each other out. So I think it's a big no. Yeah. I think that's why. I don't know. I mean, Jen voting for herself. I don't see any world where that's happening.
Yeah. Doral Magrica wants to know, Josh and Steven, does Tyler win the fishy for best voting confessional ever? Well, his voting confessional, I believe, was, I have no idea what's going on.
Yeah, I have no idea what's going on. That was great. But it's followed immediately by Rodney saying the same thing. So is it a co-fishy?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, Rodney's was more of an homage to Tyler's, right? He remembered that classic moment in Survivor Worlds Apart when Tyler had that great confessional and kind of gave it a shout out.
Yeah, that's right. What do you think about the fishy tonight? Who's it going to?
I'm giving it to Shireen.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And the reason is, I think she really is making the most of her situation. And I'm trying to think of, you know, anyone else who's come back from sort of her deficit. But I think for her, I think she's, you know, she made the crucial strategic move of the episode was, does Shireen vote for Jen or does she vote for Joe? She voted for Joe. She's building an alliance with Mike. You know, is Shireen going to win this game? Doesn't look like it, but she's certainly putting herself one step closer. You know, and the other alternative would be to give it to Mike. You know, Mike, you know, for pulling in Shireen, you know, Mike for the sort of perfect way he played that. And Mike's had enough. He needs a break.
Yeah. It'd be first fishy for Shireen, I believe.
It would.
It's been a lot of Mike, some Tyler in there as well. Some Jen.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of Tyler's gameplay, you know, even though it's not televised.
Is it an anti fishy for Jen tonight?
No. You know, I mean, she didn't really do anything so unstrategic.
Is there anything empowering about the idea of tossing your game in and like turning yourself into a grenade in the game? Do you have any respect for something like that?
I mean, it's a fun move. I don't like it when it's like, I'm going, like, vote me out. You know, I think there's something like to be said for, I am going to expend the rest of my energy on getting revenge. Like, that to me is kind of a funny play, but you know, it's not a strategic play. It's not a game winning play.
Right. But like her idea being like, I'm going to screw with their plans to get rid of Joe. I'm going to be the one, I'm going to force their hand and make them vote me out. Is there anything to root for in something like that? Or do you just give that the thumbs down?
I don't love it. I mean, do you, are you rooting for anything with that?
No, I'm not. But I mean, like, there's something at least vaguely interesting about it to me. Like, if you're so miserable, if you're so unhappy, if you really just hate being there, then, you know, to do something to really screw up everybody else's plans is at least fun, I think, on the way out the door. But, either way, it's depressing.
Yeah. You want to take this next one?
Yeah, let's get this. It's Havish Patel who says, now that Joe is gone, who's the biggest target? I think it's Mike.
Yeah, Mike. Clearly Mike. Yeah, I mean, Mike is the biggest target.
Yeah, and if you're Mike and if you've been, you've been decently savvy in this game so far, he's got to know it. He already identified it last episode that the moment that Joe is gone, he is in hot water. And I don't know. What do you think is he going to move on that as soon as next week? You think he's no dummy. He has to know that people are looking at him right away.
Well, you know, we saw some little conflict that he tries to stir up with Rodney. So, you know, it behooves Mike to find another target fast. And I think, you know, Rodney's a great one.
Yeah, Ronnie would be good. You want to take this next one from the basketball boss?
Yeah, the basketball boss wants to know, it seems Shireen is much closer to Mike than Rodney, meaning should the Rodney 4 decide to vote Mike, it is most probable that Shireen and Jen, or is it most probable that Shireen and Jen would join Mike, Sierra, and Dan and create a majority? It's an interesting idea. Shireen, Jen, and Mike, Sierra, and Dan against Rodney, Will, Tyler, Carolyn. Am I missing someone? I feel like I'm missing someone.
That's a tough breakdown. Because you know, my first instinct is that where does it make sense for Shireen to work with Dan? Just, you know, this guy who has clearly just been so mean to her, just like very unpleasant. At the same time, Carolyn hasn't been so nice either, and that they're both on opposite sides of the line in that equation. So I guess it's whichever one she feels like she can work with a little bit more. I think that, you know, in that situation, if I'm Shireen, I want to flip over to the Rodney side.
That's interesting. You know, I feel like Shireen is going to stick with like the person she's closest with and maybe won't care if Mike is or Dan is a part of that. You know, if she's got a deal with Mike, Shireen seemed, you know, vis-a-vis her relationship with Max, which was very much like, this is my guy. You know, she wants to be the backseat driver. She's never going to be Rodney's backseat driver, right? They're never going to bro down. Shireen's not even from the East Coast. So, good luck.
Yeah, but I think that it goes to this idea that when you put like Mike and Rodney side by side as these two different heads of these two different alliances, don't you think, just looking at it, like from Shireen's perspective, who could you potentially outmaneuver? Like who could you possibly outthink? I feel like Rodney, it's pretty easier to say that she could outthink Rodney. And I think that the further along you go with Mike, just the likelier and likelier it is that he's going to get very far. With Rodney, I feel like there's going to be opportunities, whether it's just because he's combustible and erratic, that he might blow up his own game.
I think though it's less about outthinking and more about like thinking with, you know, it's like, who does your mind work with that you can outmaneuver someone? You know, you're like the thinking is like it's all about just like, it's basic math, right? Is like the thinking, but it's like, who can you convince? Who are you socially simpatico with?
Right.
And we've seen that Shireen and Carolyn hate each other, right? Shireen, yeah. Like, does Shireen hate Carolyn more than she hates Dan? Like,
I think that's the question. I think, yeah. I mean, I don't think that Carolyn has come out and said that she would smack Shireen.
You know, in the Mike Alliance, you know, you've got, you know, Shireen and Sierra, you know, Shireen almost was able to convince Sierra to vote out Dan. You know, you've got Mike there.
Shireen's defense too, I actually do think that she's been fairly unemotional about this stuff.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
She's playing it pretty cool. And, you know, this idea, like, I think for her, it doesn't matter so much which way she goes in terms of like, I could work with somebody that I don't like. It's right. Like, can Carolyn work with Shireen? Can Dan work with Shireen?
Right. And you know, we've seen that, you know, it seems like Carolyn is the one person she can't work with. Carolyn and Tyler are a pair. You know, she knows that. I just think that the move, I would imagine she would stay with the Mike group just because she has that built-in relationship.
Right. Let's take a couple more. Let's go with Brandon the Stick. This is a question for you, Steven. Brandon asks, the biggest reward they had so far has been Snickers. Rob and Steven, I'm not Rob. Steven, yeah. What was the biggest reward you had on your season? What was the biggest reward that you had, Steven? Was it the, you and JT and Taj going off on that little village trip? Was that the one?
Oh no, JT and I were flown into this area, into the heart of Jalapão in the Token Chains region, and we went first we went fishing for piranhas, and then we fed the piranhas to caimans, which was pretty cool, and then we got a big Brazilian churrascaria style feast, which was just really, really phenomenal. That was the biggest reward by far. And then, of course, there was that great breakfast that you and I shared, John.
That was a fantastic breakfast. Was the pizza really terrible? There's that
pizza
challenge
was terrible.
That you sat out and you barely ate any pizza. I've been wanting to ask you about that since I rewatched Tokyo.
The pizza was so bad. It was like cold and soggy and gross. I actually saw a tweet by Rupert. I think it was Rupert last week where he was like, pizza on Survivor is not like real life pizza. And it's not. You know, it's not the same.
Yeah, Rob has told me before that the pizza on Survivor, like, think about the worst pizza you can imagine.
Yeah.
And it's that.
Yeah.
But it tastes so good because you're on Survivor.
It didn't. No, it didn't taste that good.
Well, you were getting poured on. You were in a really bad spot. Yeah. It was not great. All right, let's take this from Alex Wilpon. Steven, you want to grab this one?
Yeah. How did Jen drop from having to play an idol? How did Jen drop from having to play an idol to nearly quitting so quickly?
Yeah. I mean, it's been a roller coaster for Jen. Yeah. You know, she had that great, great moment where she, it's a fishy winning moment where she plays that immunity idol so perfectly and gets Kelly knocked out of the game. And here she is just days later, not having it anymore. What's, you know, how did she sink so low? You know, like was it really just losing somebody that she was so close with in the game and Haley, and that was just enough to demoralize her?
And she missed out on the chocolate, right? She was losing Haley and losing the chocolate. This is the 1-2 punch.
Yeah, double bummer.
Yeah, and then the chicken, you know, my God, it's like the 1-2-3 punch.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. It is true that the emotions can be very volatile in that game. You know, and you know, certainly I feel like in my normal life, I have like, I go from like the highest highs to the lowest lows within like
you're a very volatile guy, Steven.
Yeah, yeah. But you know, in the game of Survivor, you can, you know, just much more the case, you know, you're underfed, you're grouchy, you know, something really crappy happens to you. Of course you feel like really in the dumps about it. And, you know, maybe in 2 days, you know, she'll get a win a reward or eat like a particularly filling meal of rice and feel a lot better.
Yeah, yeah. All right, let's take this one from Andy too. Andy writes, why did Joe pull Dan out to the woods to ask him about his vote before making the fake idol? Why not just sneak away to make the idol?
It seemed like he was trying to get away from Mike, didn't it?
Well, yeah, I think, you know, I think like a Boston Rob-esque buddy system seemed to be in play. It was like, everybody keep an eye on Joe. Like, no matter what, all eyes on Joe. Joe cannot leave our sight. And I think that Joe realizes that this is in place. And so I think he lures Dan out into the woods so that he can send Dan off and then he can go sprint away.
Yeah, I mean,
like really, Dan seems like the easiest sucker for that play.
That's exactly what it seemed like. It seemed like he was sort of luring Dan in so he could get some alone time. All right, last question. Take us home, Josh.
All right, let's do it. This is Marco Sarek. Carolyn's idol was a pretty big topic in the first episode, and it's been invisible ever since. Thoughts on when/if it'll come up? Well,
didn't Dan sort of mention it last episode?
Well, yeah, you know, it came up, this idea that that there was a white-collar immunity idol, but nobody seems to know where it is. And
I thought Dan was hinting that it was like must be with Tyler or Carolyn.
I think that it looked like that's what Dan was about to hint. And then I think Dan's like, oh, so they must not know where it is.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like classic Dan Dodo edit. You know, I think that's what was going on. I don't know. I don't know that anybody really knows that Tyler and Carolyn have this thing. You know, I don't think it's a question of when, it is a question of when. Like, when is this going to play?
Right.
It's going to be a huge bomb when it drops, but we're coming up to the nine.
This is nine because the next is 10. Oh, you mean final nine?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. How many episodes are there this season? And there's like 16 people left in this game.
A million.
Yeah, a million episodes.
Lots of episodes.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's got to be, you know, I think they're waiting for the right moment, and it's definitely not the right moment, right? They're in a pretty great position right now. You know, they're a key part of the majority alliance. They've got a sub-alliance as part of that alliance. You know, they're doing the right thing, like pick off the stragglers and then make the big move when it's time to make the big move. I think they're playing a really solid game.
Yeah, but I think the thing is that time to make the big move might be next week. You know, we might be right there.
Yeah.
You know, as we've discussed, like that, we are at that point where it's really just Jen and then everybody else thinks that they're in. So, you know, Tyler and Carolyn, they got to make a move, and whether or not that involves the idol, I don't know, but it is a ticking clock in terms of, at the very least, these two got to do something.
Probably. Well, their plan was for 7, and I actually love that plan. You know, like assuming Mike doesn't get them first, which it seems like Mike will, right? And that's like the timing. You know, that was Cochran's, right? That was what his big testimony in Carmona, and what distinguished him as a player was timing. Really is a crucial part of this game. Do you get, you know, do you get got before you get, or something?
It's something like that. It's close.
But 7 hypothetically would be the ideal time for Mike and Carolyn to flip with Rodney and Will. The question is, will they be able to pull that off? Yeah.
And that being said, I mean, is it not the final nine where Tony knocked off LJ, I believe?
Yeah, it was, and it seemed like it was too early.
It seemed like it was too early, but it was not. You know, it ended up working out for him, and maybe that spot is, you know, starting to come in earlier. You know, now that the merge is starting to come in earlier as well, maybe that moment is happening earlier and earlier, you know, the further along we're getting into Survivor.
And so, you know, same too with Cliff, right? They took out Cliff, like, you know, during the swap, and that seemed like a crazy move. You know, why fracture your alliance? But, you know, it's hard to say that anything that Tony did is necessarily like good strategy, not like that, because he's brilliant. Like, you know, you don't look.
No, I know what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, he's so good that it doesn't necessarily like that. He did stuff that no other people couldn't pull off.
Unconventional.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think so.
All right. One more.
Yeah. Let's do. You want to do one more, Scott? Do we have one more?
One more question. Final question. Is Jen going to be the bingo B Jossie 69 wants to know, maybe related to Farm Guy 69. Is Jen going to be the swing vote next episode with Mike, Dan, Sierra, and Shireen on one side, Rodney, Mama C, Tyler, and Will at the other side? Interesting. It's basically sort of that this was the position that we were positing. Mike, Dan, Sierra, and Shireen are at alliance, Rodney, Mama C, Tyler, and Will. Jen is the swing vote. What do you think could happen?
Yeah, where does Jen go in this? And does she just like do another thing where she just like throws a vote away, you know, because she's just not playing? I don't know. You know, Jen, have we counted Jen out? You know, Jen is still in this game. Maybe she wanted to quit, but she is still a number in this game. Is Jen going to be a big factor coming up?
You know, chip in the chair. That's what they say in poker. You know, it doesn't really matter what her position is now. She's in the game and she can. I really think that there's going to be some chaos that she causes. You know, her whole everything she says is like, I can't wait to screw this game up for somebody else. And she's been saying that since episode one. So, you know, someone really could have their hopes sunk by relying on Jen.
Yeah, no, I think that's interesting. I think that just because she seems to not want to be there anymore does not change the fact that she's there and doesn't change the fact that she really could be a valuable player for some of these people. So I guess we'll see.
Yeah. All right. Well, this was a great podcast, Josh. It was so much fun.
Steven, this was great. All of you people who I know, it is a bummer that Rob was not here. This was a really, really big week for Rob. 2 podcast award. We beat Serial.
Better podcast than Serial.
That's crazy. That's awesome. Somebody on Reddit, I don't have the username handy, but someone on Reddit declared Rob the serial killer, which I enjoyed, which I think is dangerously close to the truth.
That's great. That's really awesome. Yeah. That's
He's
great.
Kind of the Dexter of podcasting.
Congratulations, guy on Reddit. That was fantastic.
Yeah, that's pretty good. But yeah, no, Rob has had a really big week. The podcast has had a big week. As Rob has said, really, really very much, you know, owes thanks to all the people who listen and watch all the shows every week. So thank you guys for indulging me tonight. And Steven, thank you very much. This was a ton of fun.
Well, it was a chore, but you're welcome.
I know. It was a slog. But Rob, he'll be back. He's got exit interview tomorrow with Jewel Remaker Joe. We'll have that here on Rob as a podcast. And he's also talking to Jonathan Penner for the podcast.
Oh my gosh. Always a great guest. Yeah. Penner is, you know, perfect one to talk to in the situation because Penner's definitely been in that position of like, I'm at the bottom. How do I make some moves and flip to get to the top? And, never been able to pull it off. So interesting to hear what his insights were.
Well, maybe, if he can like warg into Jen or into Shireen, maybe he can figure out a way with like his 3 experiences under his belt.
It's a strategy we don't talk enough about is the warging strategy.
Yeah. The green seeing is really key in Survivor. all right. I think that's going to do it here for Know It Alls. This is very fun. Rob will be back tomorrow. He'll be back on Know It Alls next week. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Steven.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.